So good morning, everyone. I'm Candace. I'm one of the local Dharma leaders, and I'm so honored to be with you today. I'm going to read a very short poem and then do just a little bit of guidance and meditation. Fluent by John O'Donohue. I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. This morning I'm going to talk about right speech, of course. Last Sunday, Nina introduced the topic of right speech with a quietly powerful talk. I bow to her. I bow to you, Nina. She shared so much wisdom. To undertake a practice of right speech in our daily lives is quite the effort in these times. Always is, but seems particularly now. We are bombarded with examples of the opposite. It's difficult to avoid it. Now, more than ever, it feels vital to our well-being and that of the planet that we speak mindfully from our hearts, from our deepest intentions. Words free of vitriol, words of kindness and caring, acknowledging our connection, our oneness, healing, harmonious speech. Bhikkhu Bodhi says this about right speech. The Buddha divides right speech into four components: abstaining from false speech, abstaining from slanderous speech, abstaining from harsh speech, and abstaining from idle chatter. Because the effects of speech are not as immediately evident as those of bodily action, its importance and potential is easily overlooked. But a little reflection will show that speech and its offshoot, the written word, can have enormous consequences for good or for harm. In fact, whereas for beings such as animals who live at the pre-verbal level, physical action is of dominant concern, for humans immersed in verbal communication, speech gains the ascendancy. Speech can break lives, create enemies, and start wars. Or it can give wisdom, heal divisions, and create peace. This has always been so. Yet in the modern age, the positive and negative potentials of speech have been vastly multiplied by the tremendous increase in the means, speed, and range of communications. I think he sums it up very well. I saw a meme online, the words superimposed over a meditating Buddha. Your reaction to a situation literally has the power to change the situation itself. And we know that's true. Certainly what you say, how you say it, your body language will influence how the situation resolves. The ancient Celts believed words held intrinsic power, capable of influencing how the situation resolves. The act of speaking a word was akin to casting a spell. In the Middle Ages, charms were woven with words, sometimes nonsense Latin, sometimes prayers, sometimes names of plants or stars. A series of words spoken over a piece of bread, a cup of water, then consumed, would afford a cure. Of course, much of that had to do with belief. But the words, the action, held the power to influence that belief. We might not share these beliefs, but we know that speech is powerful. Words are powerful. As Bhikkhu Bodhi said, speech can break lives, create enemies, and start wars. Or it can give wisdom, heal divisions, and create peace. Right view and right intention provide the foundation. But right speech is where the rubber hits the road. We might feel we're firmly on the path regarding right view and right intention, hold their wisdom deep in our bones, fully intend to walk the path of kindness. Then we walk out the door and get caught up in a conversation, and suddenly we blurt out our thoughts, speaking before we've paused to consider whether we really want to say this, at this time, in this company, and instantly regret it. But the words are spoken. People might reassure you that they know you didn't mean it, but they heard it. You said it. And you feel awful. Nina spoke of the bliss of blamelessness last week. How good it feels to have no regrets. But it's so hard to watch our tongues. A moment of thoughtlessness and we crash. Or it's a smaller transgression. Perhaps we interrupt someone. This has been one of my issues. I could get caught up in enthusiasm for what someone is saying, and I couldn't wait to share my own similar experience or feeling with them. I backed off the moment I realized they were still talking, and though I realized they often didn't even notice what I'd almost done, I felt that urge, that surge, and I disliked that feeling. It was a sign I wasn't listening deeply. While they were talking, I was thinking about what I wanted to say. There is so much to say about this topic, right speech, and I had a long list of things I considered, but I've chosen practicality, sharing some tools that have helped me work with this. They come from Gregory Kramer's book and workshops, Inside Dialogue, ta-da, which he describes as the interpersonal path to freedom. The interpersonal path to freedom. So much of our practice can be solitary, and then we gather with friends and family and poof, we're back to square one, as if we'd never sat down on the cushion. The focus here is on the dukkha we experience in relationships, with individuals, with groups, society. In order to see this dukkha and work with us, he leads practicing with one another. He calls the practice of insight dialogue on retreats and in workshops interpersonal meditation. If you've worked with dyads, you have a taste of what he's talking about. Not conversations, but quiet, thoughtful sharing. In a 25-minute talk, I can give you only a taste of this practice. What I can give you is a tool. It's a set of guidelines of steps that are easy to remember once you start working with them. I'll explain these, but first I'll give you the list. Pause, relax, open, trust emergence, listen deeply, speak the truth. He further breaks them into three stages. Pause, relax, open. Trust emergence. Listen deeply. Speak the truth. You'll notice that speaking comes last. First, we prepare. Pause. Here, with this effort, we break our habit of steering into familiar ruts. We pause. We check in with our body, our mind. What's here? Is clinging present? Am I getting upset? Can I release this while engaging with others? You'll note, this is the first step for me in not interrupting, not clinging to, oh, I want to share. I pause. Try this. Pause right now, here, and notice how you're feeling. What's rolling around in your mind? Is your body tense? Are you suddenly tightening against something? This doesn't take long. Just a pause to check in as you're engaging with another. Checking in with your body. The second step, relax. Likely you found some reaction occurring in the moment. Can you be all right about how it is for you in this moment? Take a breath. See whether you can ease the catch. Mentally shake it out. This step is very simple. We recognize tension and choose ease. Without pause and relax, we're susceptible to the whim of the moment, of old habits, the very things we know are no longer helpful. With relax, we accept the moment as it is. When we relax, we let others in. We can now connect with our companion. There's a little less of the me, self, and more opening. Gregory says, relax heals what pause reveals. A catchy little phrase. I notice that when I'm eager to share, I'm grasping some story of my own that I want to share. And I choose to ease out of that grasping. No self-anger. I've seen it. I accept it. Well, there you are again. So we've paused. We've noticed the tension and eased it. The next step is open. Open expands that step toward connecting with our companion. The relax began. It allows us to open to the world beyond the boundaries of our skin. With open, our practice ripens into mutuality. Check in. Do you need to step back and relax something that's arising? Some tension about what you might be opening to? It's okay. As Philip Moffat says, we're practicing practice. But in truth, we do this all the time when we're engaged with friends, opening to them. We want to be with them. We want to share, hear. We can do this. Non-separation, empty presence. I am here to discover you. You might think of this step as letting go of, all caps, me, self. Interrupting is a clear indication that self is intruding in this moment. This is the core of the practice. The mindfulness of pause, the calm acceptance made possible by relax, and the mutuality that comes with open. Trust emergence. Trust, that's a big one. Trust in the moment, in what will emerge in this moment as two or more people meet and begin to connect. We can't predict this, which is what we often try to do. Instead, we give ourselves over to this moment just as it is. No resistance, no arguing with it. We're curious. We meet others in the spirit of not knowing. This can be challenging. We like to think we're in control. We think it protects us. But from what? Life? What do we miss? Can we open to possibility? Be curious about it. Gregory speaks often about this step opening us to an awareness of change. Trusting emergence. It's about trusting life not to destroy us, but to move through us in an enhancing way. Isn't that a great idea? Life moving through us in an enhancing way. When mindfulness is strong, certainty is gone. Spontaneity can arise. Remember, to cling is to suffer. When we trust emergence in a conversation, in an interaction, we're opening up to something wonderful. This real connection. I'm here for you. I'm curious about you. Let's talk. So we've now paused, relaxed, open to the other, and we're trusting what is to come. We're trusting that we can handle what will come from this mindfulness in the moment. It's a trust that comes from our practice, that I don't have to plan all this. I'm going to be grounded enough to know what is necessary in the moment. Now we delve into the meat of the matter with the last two steps. Listen deeply and speak the truth. Listen deeply. This is really a challenge. Mindful, present, we open the senses to the moment. We surrender fully to the words of our companion. We're grounded in clear awareness. I mean, this really is a form of meditating. This can be tricky. As we listen, if we resonate with our companion's story, it triggers our own stories. This is what was happening to me with the eagerness to share a similar experience. I know, I've had it happen. What I learned by listening deeply was that I really wanted to share that afterwards. That what I really wanted to know was more about what my companion had just said. Deeply listening opens up new vistas, new thoughts and curiosities. It's very interesting to gently notice when we're trying to pull away from listening. What's going on? It helps us see if we're reacting and to remember to let that go before we speak in turn. There's always room for another pause. In listening deeply, we're honoring and respecting the other. We're courteously allowing them their say. We often think we know where they're going, and then they surprise us, which is so joyful. This is an act of selflessness, giving ourselves over to witnessing the other, realizing our connection. No one in the ascendance equally deserving. Once we have listened deeply, we're finally ready to speak. With care, speak the truth. We're primed to practice right speech. We're here, present, aware of any unease. The Buddha's instructions are simple. Monks, a statement endowed with five factors is well spoken, not ill spoken. It is spoken at the right time. It is spoken in truth. It is spoken affectionately. It is spoken beneficially. It is spoken with a mind of goodwill. Speech that does no harm, that is harmonious, that leads to harmony. One thing you might notice after all this preparation is that you say much less than you might have. Tuwari has pointed out that if you're talking a lot, you're back in your habitual rut, out of the mindfulness. Chatter, 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 chatter. That's a habit. It's interesting that we say less when we're mindful. We're eager to hear the other person. We've shed all the extra stuff that just isn't necessary to say. We may realize that some of it wasn't appropriate, or it just isn't the right time right now. Or perhaps we realize it might hurt the other, or hint of some attitude that might be offensive. You may be thinking about speaking the truth to power, firmly, saying the things power does not want to hear. That's a whole other topic. But I submit for your approval this idea. Presenting the truth without rancor, tone, matter of fact, face neutral, body language relaxed, that could be quite powerful and unexpected. Even the difficult things that must be spoken can be spoken without ill will. Truth is a packed word. Do we speak only what we know absolutely, firsthand? Are we ever entirely sure we have the whole story? That we can say with authority, this is the truth? What we're talking about here is your subjective truth, the truth that arises from mindfulness. You speak the truth of this moment in your experience. Clarity arises when the mind is energetic, mindful, calm, spacious. Pause, relax, open. And when it is unattached, trust emergence. What arises from this practice is what you may have experienced in a dyad. When your partner keeps asking the same question, your answers shift, they change, they come from a deeper place, often really surprising you. That is what I think. And it's always good to check what you're about to say. Is it reactive? Is it coming from greed, hatred, or delusion? In theory, I've already set those aside, but perhaps as I listened, some emotions arose and I was overwhelmed. It's interesting to see what's left when those fall away. Can it be heard now? Is it true? Can I say it without causing harm? Without ill will? Does it need to be said? That one sometimes hurts. You might be thinking, all those pauses and checks, how do I do that in a casual conversation? Do your best. When you think of it, pause for a moment. Check how you're feeling. If you realize you're saying what you didn't mean to say, clinging is here, anger, take a breath and shift away. Or just say something like, nah, we don't need to go there, or I'm tired of hearing myself talk, or just change the subject. I learned when I was teaching writing classes that people are very open to you saying, I got off track, I didn't mean to go there, let's get back to the topic. Or just taking a pause. As a novelist, I've studied conversations, how to make them more natural. And let me tell you, structured conversations are fictional, not real. There's a lot of slop, a lot of veering off on another topic, talking over each other, a lot of silences, awkward and otherwise. You can get away with a lot in a conversation, and it's worth it if it will ease you away from something you would regret. Admit that you said the wrong thing. There's never harm in that. Pause, relax, open. Trust emergence. Listen deeply, speak the truth. This is a tool. Thank you for your kind attention. And thank you, Gregory. So what I'd like to do in our breakout groups this morning is have you give some of this a try. I hope you're up to this. What I propose is breakout groups with three people, so you each get 5 minutes, taking some of that time to arrive with your companions. Thank you, Deanna. Before you speak about something that's on your mind about right speech, we're just going to do pause, relax, open. So each person, 5 minutes, take your time. Talk about a time when you handled a situation well, a time when you didn't, what baloney inside dialogue seems to you, what appealed to you in the talk, whatever. The other two will be listening deeply, not planning what they're going to say. You'll need to watch your time. This isn't a conversation. It's each person having a chance to try out the pause. You might even pause in the middle of speaking. Be patient with yourself. See how that feels. And each person has a chance to listen deeply. And then when it's time, we'll bow to each other. And when we come back, I'd love to hear how that felt or anything else that's come up. How's that sound? great. Welcome back. I put a few notes in the chat. One is the web link to insightdialogue.org in case you're interested. So how did this go for you? Lillian?
Thank you for the talk, and thank you to my group for showing how to enact the insight dialogue practice. I think I had a couple of thoughts with what you brought up, Candace, just with how true it was for me when you talked about how right speech is where the rubber hits the road, I think was your phrase, for you know, having the right view, the right intention, the right understanding, and then being able to or not able to put those things into practice through what comes out of your mouth. And I think something interesting that came up in our group was just the idea of like, what are we doing with our breath, our life force, our actions, our words? These are choices we have to make. And I was really grateful for that idea as well. So just thought it'd be cool to bring insight dialogue into other areas of life and just kind of work with it. So it's something that's new to me. So thank you.
Really glad that was of use, and thanks for sharing. Anyone else? Julie.
Hi, yeah, Candace, I don't remember the exact words you used, but it was a relatively simple statement, but it just resonated so strongly. I think how much we underestimate the impact of everything we say. And something else you said that I talked about at length in my group was, it's not just what we say, it's how we say it. And and then I did want to bring up one other thing that came up in our group that, it certainly resonated with me pretty strongly, the whole sense that, you know, sometimes we can get wrapped up in some kind of habitual, less than helpful ways of thinking about ourselves or about other people. And it can just sort of tangle us in knots. And I just think it's kind of interesting how, we can look at that, but it's not always... being out in the real world in a situation where you're kind of forced to interact with people, sometimes the whole reflecting thing, there's a period of time when it's okay. And then there's a period of time when people are like, hello, react, and you're caught in this. You don't want to be, because you're pretty sure whatever comes out of your mouth is not going to be have the right tone. I mean, maybe the words you can work out, but the tone, it's not going to happen. So I just wanted to throw that out there in case anybody else can relate to that. So thank you.
Thank you, Julie. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. Suze.
I learned something in sharing with my partner in this small group about pausing. I recently had what was going to be a serious conversation with somebody, and I asked this somebody to just listen and not offer resources, encouragement, nothing, just listen. And as a result, I watched my tendency to put a happy face on what was not a happy set of emotions. It's my Susie Sunshine, persona, unfortunately, shows up all the time. And by me feeling safer that I wasn't going to get interrupted, I wasn't going to be told, you can do it, you're great, yeah, the kind of rah-rah, the pause gave me an opportunity to not only speak truth, but I shared, what did I say, in more full honesty, full emotional honesty about myself, that I think this idea that we got to speed up because we're going to get interrupted, and we got to like get it over with, and then what comes out is old habits So by pausing, it gave me a gift of being really honest with what I was sharing and not putting a happy face on it. It expanded that idea of pause and relax and open. So thank you. And it was good to be able to talk about that.
That's lovely. Thank you, Suze. Thank you. Yeah, this is such a big topic. Anybody else? Judith.
Yeah, I think in our group, we kept coming back to the topic of right listening and how difficult it is to actually listen to somebody else without thinking about what we're going to say. Even if we don't interrupt, I know I have a real tendency to be thinking about, okay, oh yeah, that reminds me of, and then I have got to share this, or, oh, I don't agree, and I've got to make my point and, you know, convince the other person that I'm right and they're wrong, and wow, you know, and on it goes. And just, just to actually break, it's a habit. It's a conditioned habit. Like, it's all got to be about me, right? It's all got to be about me. And instead, make it about whoever is talking. And just really listen. Okay. And like you say, with curiosity.
Yeah.
Curiosity. But, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Judith. Yeah. I think that people can tell often when we're not entirely listening. They can see that we're beginning to tense up. They can see that we're beginning to react. And like Suze was saying, that can really make us start speeding up because, you know, we think that they're ready to erupt and we want to get finished with what we said. And it's a nasty circle. I mean, it kind of feeds on itself. Great comments, everybody. Anything else? Well, thank you for being sports about trying the experiment. Because I just thought, well, I remember how I really thought that I could never do the pause. And I can. I do it all the time now. In the middle of a conversation, I'll go, oh, wait a minute, what's going on? And so, thank you. I want to give the merit, share the merit of this beautiful morning with all beings, particularly those who are suffering, those who see no way out of their suffering. May they find community and security and peace and love, and may they be heard and respected, and may Mother Earth be heard and respected, and may all beings be at peace. Thank you all. Have a beautiful day.